If you in any way use a computer or email, you know that countless times each week you receive stories, pictures, videos, and jokes from friends who evidently have found something worth sharing. I recently received one that has really stuck with me, though. It is a YouTube video, and it is entitled 29 Years Old and Hearing Her Voice for the First Time. It is the story of Sarah Cherman, who was born deaf and at age 29 had received a hearing implant. She chose to video the moment when the device was turned on, not to publicize herself, but to draw attention to the medical facility and the particular implant that she had received, which is not covered by most medical insurance. You watch this intimate moment as the device is turned on for the very first time. Can you imagine? In an instant, going from a world and a lifetime of silence to the sounds of life, sounds that you and I take for granted. So how does she react? Well, for me, that's what makes this video so particularly touching. And there's no doubt in my mind that her reaction was not at all what she had expected to film. The device is turned on, and she hears for the first time. First, it's instructions from the audiologist, and then she hears her own voice. And she is absolutely overwhelmed. The pure, unadulterated joy of that moment overcomes her, and she could do nothing but cry tears of gratitude. She can finally hear her own voice, but she is simply unable to speak. Can you imagine? Can you imagine such overwhelming gratitude for something that you and I take for granted each and every day? A gratitude so intense that it leaves us in tears. A gratitude so profound that it leaves us speechless. That's a place I want us to go for just a few minutes this morning, that place of intense gratitude, because today is Stewardship Sunday. Sorry. It's a time where we examine our blessings and determine in what ways we can and will support the work of the church in the coming year. And for me personally, it is an extremely stressful time. I don't want to be up here giving a stewardship sermon any more than you want to be sitting there hearing one. And if you're visiting with us today, we are not a church that harps on money week in and week out from the pulpit. You get one stewardship sermon a year, and the rest is up to you. But this is a stressful time because what happens in the next few months are determinations about programs and ministries and outreach, and yes, even personnel. Lives are affected in this process, not only the lives of the people who serve on staff here, but more importantly, the lives of those that we strive to serve. That, on top of attempting to raise separate money to finish rehabbing our facilities, will frankly make for some sleepless nights in the next few months. So today's gospel. Today's gospel does not say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is left over, no matter how much we would like for it to. And what we believe belongs to God is an expression of our gratitude. It's as simple as that. But let me let you in on a little secret. You have heard it said over and over and over again that stewardship is an acknowledgement of our blessings, particularly our financial blessings, a recognition that all we have is a gift from God and that we are called to give back. And the little secret is, I'm not sure that's true. And I think maybe we preachers have for too long been barking up the wrong tree. You see, how blessed we are has absolutely nothing to do with how much money we have. We want to equate blessings with success, Yet our blessings are much more basic and much more foundational than that. In my spiritual life, I have spent much more time in the pew than I have up here in the pulpit. And I have heard it all when it comes to stewardship, just like you have. I've heard the preacher say, and I probably said it myself, that all we have is a gift from God. And perhaps, like you, there's a part of me that's always had a little bit of a problem with that, because the truth is that some of us have what we have because of hard work and persistence and perseverance and sacrifice. And to ignore that is to be oversimplistic. Yet to truly understand our blessedness, perhaps we have to go deeper. Perhaps our blessing is that sense of persistence, perseverance, and sacrifice that allows us to achieve in the first place. Perhaps our blessings are simply circumstances, a reflection of past taken and past not taken, precious souls that we've walked the journeys with. Perhaps our blessings are matters such as health and our abilities. And perhaps our blessings may be as simple as the accident of our births, our families, even the fact that somehow we were born in a place where achievement and opportunity are possible. And it's in that understanding, that basic understanding, that I think each of us, regardless of what we have achieved, can come to know how truly blessed we are from God, that it does come from God, no matter how hard we've worked to earn it. And then respond with a gratitude so intense that it literally aches. It's where we stand with that crowd listening to the Christ and recognize that the image stamped on that coin clearly is that of Caesar, but the image that's stamped on you and me since the beginning of time is the image of God. And how dare we not respond? So, here are the facts. I shared many of them with you last year. Many of them are the same. If people who call themselves Christian truly tithe, that is, give 10% of their income to the church, it is estimated there would be over $139 billion additional dollars available each year for ministry. Our average pledge here at Holy Nativity is just over $2,800 a year. That is $53 a week. And that is slightly above the average for the Episcopal Church and for this particular diocese. Yet, 40% of those who call themselves members of this parish do not pledge. 40%. That's not to say that they don't give to the church, but our budgets are based on pledges. And without them, we cannot accurately plan for the coming year. And that includes ministries and staff. Here's some more facts. The staff and ministry leaders of this parish are good stewards. Every single staff member here pledges, and we go to great effort to watch our expenditures. And just like I said last year, the solutions really are simple. If everyone who pledges currently would increase their pledge by 10%, we'd be fine. We'd meet our budget goals. I said this last year. That means if you give $1,000 a year, you'd be giving $1,100. If you pledge the average, it would mean an additional $280 a year. If you pledge $10,000 a year, that would only be $1,000 additional dollars. And if you pledge $30,000 a year, then you really don't go to this church. But if everyone who pledges now would increase their pledge by 10%, things would be fine. Or if only 10 to 15% of those who don't currently pledge would pledge the average, we would meet our budget goals. So I said all this last year, and guess what happened? Well, some of you did increase your pledge by 10%. Some of you who haven't pledged, pledged for the first time. And you know what the result was? We met our stewardship goal. It's so simple, isn't it? And the question is whether we can do it again. Not only do it again, but also raise the additional money that we need to once and for all take care of our building needs that have been neglected for way too long. but there's only one catch. None of that has a thing to do with stewardship. Stewardship is not about fundraising. At its essence, stewardship is about gratitude. It is a gratitude, and I say this every year too, but it's reflected here in our checkbooks and in our calendars. These hold our life stories. They tell what is important to us. Sarah Cherman's YouTube video has been viewed by over 8 million people since it was first posted 2 weeks ago. She's even started a blog to document what has happened to her. She's appeared on the Today Show. She's been on the Ellen Show. She writes about hearing music in church for the very first time and for the first time being able to sing along. And she writes this: I never imagined this gift to me would make such a difference to so many people. It's as if the world is aching to experience the joy and gratitude that I feel. We are, aren't we? So, I'm done for another year. No more stewardship from the pulpit until next year. Besides, I'm not sure there's anything else I could say that would really matter. I can't lead you to that place of gratitude. It's a path that each of us must journey toward on our own. And it is the place where we discover what really matters. What we do here in this place, in this family of God, is our attempt in a small way to change the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet before we change the world, perhaps we have to look in the mirror and first change ourselves and find in that image a reflection of gratitude that truly can bring us to our knees and remind us to whom we belong. Like Sarah Cherman, may each of us find that intense place of gratitude for God's sake and for our own.